Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Did you know that it is National Dog Training Education Month? Yes, it is. And we're on it. We're on it. Michelle Axemaker is here. She is the canine manager and trainer for a great organization called Warrior's Heart. And we got lots of questions. Michelle, how are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. And listen, this is something that's very close to my heart as well. My wife and I adopted some pit bull mix rescues, and she's a horse trainer by trade. My wife is, and so she takes right to the training of animals. And you know, I've read your bio, and I see what your passion is. And talk about, first of all, the connection that we have with especially with dogs.
Right. So dogs are man's best friend. We've all heard that. And there's definitely a reason for that saying. They just make us feel good by being around them. It's so rewarding, too, when you pick up a rescue dog and change their lives. But really, they're actually changing our lives when we rescue them.
Absolutely. That is absolutely true. And, you know, some of the great stories that we hear on the show about some of these service dogs and training for first responders and also for veterans. And you say it takes 120 hours to train service dogs, right?
That's correct. So that 120 hours doesn't even count the basic obedience. So we're going to spend tons of hours working on just sit, walking on a leash, learning how to crate train. Then once we get into our PTSD mitigation, or the task that the service dog needs to learn to assist its handler, we're going to invest 120 hours into that so that we know that that dog is confident in his job.
Now, do you ever work with shelters on some of this? And I mean, I just got so many questions because I'm fascinated by this. But do you work with shelter dogs as well?
We work with a lot of shelters. So we're dealing with shelters and rescues within our area. And in fact, about 60 to 80% of the dogs that are successful service dogs for Warrior's Heart are rescued.
Oh, that's great. That's great. We're talking to Michelle Axemaker here on the National Defense. She's the canine manager and trainer for Warrior's Heart. Talk about Warrior's Heart a little bit. How did you guys get started? And what exactly do you do?
Sure. So Warrior's Heart started back in 2016, and we are a residential treatment center for drug and alcohol addiction with a co-occurring diagnosis. So for us, that would be PTSD, anxiety, depression. We're bringing in only warrior class. So that's going to be active duty military, veterans, and first responders of all types. So it's a brotherhood here and a sisterhood. It's people who have similar stories and backgrounds that can relate to one another.
And I understand that you yourself had a traumatic experience that resulted in some PTSD, and that you also have a service dog, right?
That is correct. So that's where my passion began, in sharing my love of service dogs with others. So I experienced a traumatic event. I went to therapy for it. I was on medications for it, and it wasn't progressing as fast as I thought it needed to, right? My healing wasn't where I wanted it to be. I was experiencing loneliness and grief and sleeplessness. I had lots of nightmares. You can't control it when you're asleep. So I did a lot of research on PTSD service dogs and what they could do for my particular situation. And I had Otis, my Boston Terrier. He was my pet and companion. I put him through the training programs as I've kind of figured it out on my own, and he learned nightmare mitigation. So his job is to wake me up when I have physical symptoms that he can see from a nightmare. So tossing and turning, maybe talking in my sleep. He'll approach me. He'll put a paw on my face and scratch me, or maybe lick me. That wakes me up, and I'm able to kind of restart that sleep process without the nightmare.
Wow. I mean, just that part of it is so amazing. And that you were able to train Otis like that. How long did that take?
probably about the same amount of time, 120 hours invested into his training. And it's a game for him. So he doesn't know that he's doing something super important. Sure. To him, it's just fun because he gets to interact with me, maybe get a treat or some love. But yeah, it takes hours and hours. And even now, after 3 years of him doing his job, we'll do practice sessions. So I'll pretend that I'm having a nightmare in bed and make sure that he is up to date on all of his skills and ready to go at any moment.
Hey, Michelle.
So the training continues.
Well, that's fantastic. And we get this question a lot, and I'm sure you do too. What is the difference between an emotional support dog and a service dog?
That's an excellent question. So they're both therapeutically benefit to their handler. The emotional support animal or emotional support dog is simply there for the mental health benefit. They are not trained to do any specific task that mitigates a disability. In fact, they just make you feel good because they're there. The service dog goes a step beyond that. So they're still making us feel good because they're there, but they've been trained to mitigate a disability. So that could be mobility. They might help people with prosthetics walk with a little bit more ease. It could be PTS. Some people with post-traumatic stress disorder feel really uncomfortable in the public. So these dogs can be trained to watch their sick. So they're actually mitigating that disability, whereas the emotional support animal just makes us feel good through companionship.
Yeah, well, that's a great answer. We're talking to Michelle Axemaker here on the National Defense. She's the manager trainer at Warrior's Heart. And, you know, you talk about some of these, if the emotional support animals, if they're dogs, if they're just there to make you feel good, that's all dogs, right? That's the thing about, it's just absolute joy with our dogs. I mean, they are just so happy, you know, and it just makes you feel good. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, if you encountered a person like that, I mean, it would just make your day, right?
Very much so. So dogs live in the moment. They're happy to see us, whether we've been gone 2 seconds or 2 hours or 2 days. It's right. Always the same reaction. We see an effect of mood and happiness when we're around dogs. So that's why they're so beneficial as emotional support animals and service dogs. It can just keep us in the moment and functioning in the most healthy way.
And when you guys do the training, Michelle, do you use an e-collar? Do you use positive reinforcement? What's your method?
So we're balanced. So that means we use some positive reinforcement and some negative reinforcement. Negative doesn't have to be mean per se. Right. It just means I'm going to give that dog a correction with its collar if he doesn't do what I'm asking him to do when I'm asking him to do it. We're going to follow that up with the positive reinforcement with that treat or that tactile. So rubbing behind the ear. We're always going to follow it up with good job, good boy, good girl, after a correction is applied.
Yeah, and that's probably some tips that anybody can apply, right, in training?
Absolutely. So a trained dog is a happy dog and a happy handler. We've all met the dogs that go crazy and bark and scratch at the door when the doorbell rings, even if it's on the television and they hear it.
Right.
If we train right. those dogs, even our pets, to not react to the doorbell ringing, it makes our lives less chaotic and a little bit easier to get through the day. So I believe that any dog should be trained, even if it's just basic things like don't go crazy when someone knocks on the door.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that people don't understand that when you train a dog, it takes pressure off the dog, right? I mean, you can just see them relax and just be confident that you're in, you know, hey, this guy's in control. He's got my six, and so I'm free to do, you know, the things that I do.
That's absolutely correct. Dogs love to follow the leader. So they love to have direction and structure in their lives. If they know what the rules are, they will comply and follow it, especially if they're getting rewarded for that. But yeah, happy dogs are trained dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just thinking about my dog, Wags. He's a 5-year-old pit bull mix rescue, and he is so OCD. Oh my gosh. If he does something a certain way one time, he has to do it the same way every single time.
I love that.
Do you encounter that a lot?
We do. So we have a lot of different breeds of dogs that we use. So we've used tiny dogs like 20-pound Boston Terriers all the way up to your large 130-pound Great Danes, you know, and each of them have a different way of processing the learning experience. So, yeah, some of them will do the same thing every time. When they're learning something basic like a sit, they're going to sit the same way in the same spot every time. Right. Others are a little bit slower and may wiggle around before they sit, or they may walk in front of you before they sit. So we do see a lot of different learning styles with the mini breeds that we use here.
That's so cool. We're talking to Michelle Axemaker here in the National Defense. She's the canine manager trainer for Warrior's Heart. Talk about your facility there at Warrior's Heart. That's a pretty large spread you got.
It is. So we are on 543 acres in Bandera, Texas. So we're almost between Austin and San Antonio, out in the hill country. It's a very secluded community. It's quiet. We've got the fresh air, the sunshine, the cactus. It's a therapeutic place just because it's so beautiful and quiet.
Yeah, boy, that's really cool. And when you guys, how do people connect with Warrior's Heart? And if they do need some treatment, what kind of process do they have to go through?
That's great. So I like to tell everybody that has questions about Warrior's Heart, we treat Warrior Class, but our staff is also Warrior Class. So we have been there. We understand what they're going through. So we may be spouses of active duty or veterans. Many of our folks are veterans themselves. A lot of us are first responders. So we get it. We've walked in their boots, so to speak. The best way to reach out is through our website, warriorsheart.com, and you can find the phone number to reach out to ask for help, which is so hard to do. We call it a 1,000-pound phone. But once you get over that first step of just asking for help and acknowledging that you need a little bit of it, we're going to get you through the process with ease.
Oh, that's great. And warriorsheart.com is the best place to start with all of that, I would imagine, right?
That's correct.
Hey, Michelle, what's your favorite dog movie of all time?
Oh, gosh, no one's ever asked me that. I'm going to say the movie Marley and Me with the terrible, untrained golden retriever.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great one. That is a great one. You know, the couple that Dennis Quaid has starred in, oh man, I mean, every dog movie with me, it always ends the same thing. But I mean, there have been some really good dog movies here over the past few years, right?
Yes, there have. And I can't go to any of them in the theater because I cry like a baby every time.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, listen, this has been great. Thank you so much for taking the time today. And thank you to everything that you guys are doing at Warrior's Heart. This is just tremendous.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for allowing me a little bit of time to talk about my purpose and my passion here at Warrior's Heart. We sure love what we get to do.
That is so great. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.